Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. I'm Nachliel Selavan, and together we are studying archaeology in the parasha. And the subject for Parashat Va'etchanan is the beautiful mountain, the Lebanon, or the Lebanon. Now, I would just like to preface that Be'ezrat Hashem, as I promised, I try to put out a podcast which is special for Tisha B'Av in order to complete what I started with Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and to talk about some archaeology which has to do with the destruction in my hometown of Jerusalem. So hopefully during the rest of the week, but for now, let's get into it. So Parashat Va'etchanan deals with Moshe Rabbeinu's desire to enter Eretz Yisrael, and thus the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, of course, are discussed. It's what he's supposed to go up on the mountain and see. And it is a known fact that there are different descriptions of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael that were promised to Avraham Avinu. So in some cases, it is very expansive, and the one with Avraham Avinu was the expansive version, as mentioned in Brit Ben HaBetarim, which we also quoted last week, and I'm going to say it again now. Bayom ahu karat Hashem et Avraham Brit Lemor, so here's the promise, the covenant. Lezar'acha natati et ha'aretz hazot, minahar Mitzrayim ad ha'nahar ha'gadol nehar Prat. Now this is very simplified, but basically saying, this land which you are looking at from the river of Egypt, all the way up until the Euphrates River. It's a little more detailed in our parasha, and it's in several other places, in Parashat Mishpatim, in Parashat Ekev, and so on. But in Parashat Maseh, which we just read, there is a very detailed delineation of the boundaries, which is much more minimalistic. It's much, much smaller. And Yoel Elitzur in Makom Parasha, who's for Parashat Mishpatim, he deals with this. And again, this podcast is mostly based on Yoel Elitzur with a few additions of my own, but it's pretty much in his on Parashat Va'etchanan. So he deals with it there. But to put it really simply, there is an immediate boundary that is achievable with the pending Kenisa La'aretz with Yehoshua, the conquering of it immediately, and the entering and settling, all of that. And we're going to get later to specifically to Yehoshua Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th chapter in Yehoshua, which talks about the parts of the land which have not been conquered at the end of this campaign and which need to be dealt with later. But there is the ideal expansion for when we are ready for it, both spiritually and in terms of our population. If we don't have enough people to settle it, then as in Mishpatim, as mentioned, Pen Tirbe Alecha Chayat HaSadeh, I mean, there's going to be animals that are going to, it's not going to be inhabitable, right? Anyway, so however we look at it, there is one mountain or mountain range which is considered part of Eretz Yisrael, and that is Har HaLevanon, the Lebanon. And when I'm saying Lebanon, I don't mean the state called Lebanon, but I'm referring to the mountain and its area. We'll get to that a little bit more. Now, what is it Moshe Rabbeinu wanted so much about the Hermon, about the Mount Lebanon, right? What is it? Like the Hermon, by the way, is part of the Lebanon, just so you know, it's like the bottom part of Lebanon. And you're like, maybe it's the ski retreat? No, I don't really think that's what it was. So he says, Ebrana ve'er'eh ta'aretz ha'tova asher be'eretz ha'yarden, I pleaded with Hashem at the time, saying, let me, I pray, cross over the sea to see the good land on the other side of the Jordan, the good hill country and the Lebanon. So there's, of course, a reference to Beit HaMikdash as Lebanon, as mentioned in Zechariah, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Petach Lebanon Delatecha, throw open your gates, O Lebanon. And Unkulus, Targum Unkulus as well, says, Tura Tava Haden, this beautiful mountain, Uvet Makdesha. Or Bet Mikdash, the temple, and as well as several Midrashei Chazal and so on refer to it as the temple. And as always, Torah has many layers to it, which can be true at the same time. And knowing the geography of Eretz Yisrael, it is correct to say that in this case, En Mikra Yotze Midei Peshuto. In other words, it's the simple meaning. And this is referring to the mountain Lebanon, the actual mountain, in the immediate sense. And Moshe Rabbeinu was asking to see Har Lebanon, which he viewed as representing the very epicenter of the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Lebanon in Zechariah may have gotten its name after Shlomo HaMelech built the magnificent Beit HaMikdash, the first temple, since it was also Klilat Yofi, it's the embodiment of beauty as Tzion, as Yerushalayim, and so on. So perhaps then that became called the Lebanon of, you know, Eretz Yisrael. Fine. Now, Yoel Elitzur tells a story of how he was in Lebanon during the first Lebanon War of 1982, also known as Mivtza Shalom HaGalil, and we'll get into that story in the end. But he mentions the beauty of the Lebanon, and I quote, I truly took my breath away It truly took my breath away to see the arresting Lebanese landscapes, the abundant rivers and streams in particular. It seems that when the Torah states, Ki Hashem Elokecha mevi'acha el eretz tova, eretz nachal emayim, ayanot utehomot yotzi'im babik'a uvahau, for the Lord your God brings you into the good land, the land with streams and springs and fountains issuing from plain and hill. It was referring first and foremost to the region of the Lebanon. End of quote. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu asked for this while standing in Arvot Moab, in the plains of Moab, which had been given a degree of Kedusha as Ever HaYarden, the Transjordan, after the conquest of Reuven Gad, or then half of Menashe, and so on, teaches us that Torah considers Lebanon to have a higher degree of Kedusha than Ever HaYarden, the Transjordan. So let's get back into it. So here we are told, Pinu usu lachem uvo har ha'amori ve'el kol shechenav ba'arava, ba'har u'ba'shefela, u'ba'negev u'b'chof ha'yam, Eretz HaKena'ani v'ha'Levanon, ad ha'nahar ha'gadol nahar prat. So you start out and make your way up the hill country of the Amori, the Amorites, and all their neighbors, all the way to the Arava, to the hill country, and then the Shefela, and the Negev, and the seacoast, the land of the Kena'ani and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Now we saw also in Parashat Mishpatim as well, V'shati et gvulcha miyam suf ad yam plishtim u'mimidbar ad ha'nahar ki eten biyadchem et yoshvei ha'aretz v'gerashtam u'mipanecha. I'm going to set your borders from the sea of reeds to the sea of plishtim, and from the wilderness to the Euphrates, and I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hands, and you will drive them out before you. Now, as mentioned, the Lebanon is included in both the small and the expansive descriptions of Eretz Yisrael. And so for our discussion here, it's important to stress that the Lebanon was included even within the initial limited set of borders, and we said this before, I'm just saying it again, and we can see this first of all from our parasha, where Moshe Rabbeinu was located in the very heart of the spacious, like right outside Eretz Yisrael, actually, and he's basically at the heart, right? He's right before the entrance to Yericho, and he's requesting to see the Lebanon, like we're about to go there. It's not some, you know, futuristic, you know, when we can make it. It's right there, right? And we see this also in Yehoshua Perek Yud Gimel, and now I'm going to get into this. Zot ha'aretz ha'nish'eret, kol gililot ha'plishti v'chol ha'gishurim. So this is talking about all the territory that remains, all these the districts of the Plishtim and those of the Gishurim, which are somewhere in the Golan Heights and so on. And on and on. And then it says, V'haaretz ha'givli, v'chol ha'levanon mizrach ha'shemesh. So we're talking about all the Lebanon into the east, eastward, mi Baal Gad tachat Har Hermon ad levo Hamat. That part for called Baal Gad, underneath Har Hermon, all the way to Hamat, which is, you know, further up. Kol yoshvei ha'har min ha'levanon ad misrfot mayim. Kol tzidonim anochi arushem mipnei b'nei Yisrael. Rak kapila l'Yisrael b'nachala kasher tzivitich. So Hashem is telling Yehoshua that all the land of the Givli, and the whole valley of the Lebanon, from Baal Gad at the foot of Mount Hermon to Lebo Hamat to the east, with all the inhabitants of the hill country from the valley of Lebanon to Misrafot Maim, namely all of the Tzidonim, Hashem is saying, I will dispossess those nations for the Israelites. You have only to apportion the lands by lot among Israel as I have commanded you. In other words, it didn't happen yet. After all of the 14 years of kibush and nahara, it still has to be done. Now, the Nahar Prat, the Euphrates River, is actually not mentioned in Yehoshua Perek Yud Gimel. It is actually a place instead called Lebo Hamat, which that location best typifies the limited border of Parashat Mas'eh. So, sure enough, the list of the territory that remains, Haaretz HaNish'aret, in Yehoshua Perek Yud Gimel includes all of the Lebanon, the two Lebo Hamat to the east, as well as all of the inhabitants of the hill country from the Lebanon, etc., 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 until Misrafot Maim. So it's clear that we are supposed to conquer that area early on, and we sort of let it slide. Okay, that was a bad pun. But you'll notice how many times I mention Yehoshua Yud Gimel, and that's because it's a very important perek to be familiar with, as it gives a realistic sense of how difficult it is to actually settle Eretz Yisrael. Like, you come home with Yeshua, and you think that everything's nice, everything's beautiful, it happened, and it's great, and like, no, it's complicated. These processes took a very, very long time. It didn't just happen immediately, and the fact that some areas weren't properly resettled caused a lot of problems with our relationships with our neighbors, either by bad influence or, I mean, it's very complicated. So it didn't get done, and that's a very big problem. But anyway, so let's get into some grammatical discussions, because it's really interesting in terms of the conversation of Lebanon being part of Eretz Yisrael. So Yoel Elitzol, who again is an expert in biblical geographical nomenclature of Tanakh and identifying biblical locations, or he wrote a whole book about this, Shemot Mekomot Be'eretz Yisrael, or something like that. So he points out that in the language of Tanakh, Ha-Lebanon, the Lebanon, refers first and foremost to the tall Mount Lebanon range, which bears this name until today. However, it occasionally refers to the Bika'a Valley, which is the Valley of Lebanon, east of that range, as in Yehoshua Yud Gimel, again, Pasuk Hei, cited above, and in certain cases, it even refers to the mountain range known today as Anti-Lebanon Mountains to the east, opposite Mount Lebanon. But so that's one thing, that's where. From the linguistic perspective, it is appropriate to refer to the region as the Lebanon, Ha-Lebanon, using the definite article, Heha Yedi'a, as the name appears in this form, Ha-Lebanon, in pretty much every instance, almost every instance in Tanakh. And moreover, the name that form has important significance in the Hebrew language, especially in Tanakh, but also in the language of Chazal and in modern Hebrew as well, in that the names of the various regions of the land of Israel are written and said using the definite article, Hei Yedia, for example, Hagalil, Hakarmel, Hasharon, Habashan. And in contrast, the names of other biblical lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, such as Ammon, Moab, Babel, Mitzrayim, as well as modern Hebrew names for most modern countries, such as Sepharad, which is Spain, Tzarefat, which is France, or Anglia, England, right? Do not use the definite article, Hei Yedia. We don't call it the Egypt, the Spain, right? So the use of the definite article in the case of the Lebanon highlights the fact that this is the name of a territory within Eretz Yisrael rather than the name of a foreign country. In historical terminology, the southern part of modern day, the state of Lebanon, south of the Litani River, is essentially part of the Upper Galilee, the Galil HaElyon. And we're going to see why this is important soon. Tanakh actually refers to this region along with the region north of the region until Sidon or Byblos, using the territorial term Sidon or Sidonim, which are mentioned a lot in Tanakh. Right? So back to our story. The first Lebanon War of the summer of 1982, which Prime Minister Menachem Begin named Operation Peace for Galilee, Mivitza Shalom HaGalil, it took place for the most part in the Lebanon, in the biblical sense of the name as well, while the second Lebanon War of the summer of 2006 took place mostly in the Upper Galilee. The frustrating aftermath of the first Lebanon War from the perspective of the nation of Israel and the state of Israel, despite Israel's military success in that war, and the failures of the second Lebanon War are tied, in the opinion of Elitzul, to the fact that the nation and its leaders, even those on quote-unquote the right, believe that they were fighting in a foreign country. We can maybe say that this is like Israel's version of Vietnam, but let's not get into that. But if they were very familiar with the Tanakh, they would have understood that they were located during those wars inside Eretz Yisrael, and perhaps it would have changed things a little bit, and they would have turned out differently. So even minor details connected to our perception of the land take on a grotesque appearance when a location is viewed through a lens of foreignness. So that's that. But I'd like to end with a personal story by the author, Yoel Elitzul, and I quote, "During the First Lebanon War, I was one of the infantry soldiers who advanced north through the length of the Bika'a Valley. When we passed through the area of Lake Karaun, the rations we took with us ran out. We reached a kind of dried fruit factory where we found packs of dried figs that were grown locally. We ate them, and they were both delicious and filling. When I finished eating these figs, to my heart's content, and stood to recite the Beracha Ha'ona, the last blessing, I had to make a quick decision on the spot regarding a seemingly pikayun matter, but one that at the same time bore colossal significance. According to halacha, the blessing that one recites after consuming fruit from the seven species, from outside the land of Israel, concludes with the formula, al ha'aretz ve'al ha'perot, if it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, because it's just for the land and for the fruit, it's generic. But after consuming the fruit of the land of Israel, however, one recites, al ha'aretz ve'al peroteha, for the land and for its fruit. And that moment of realization filled me with exhilaration as I recited with utmost kavanah, Al Ha'aretz Ve'al Peroteha.